how Moses cried out to the Lord and said, "Show me your glory." But I ended my sermon last week by saying Moses had a heart that was hungry for the things of God. Moses had a hungry heart. A hungry heart ushers in God's glory. Did you guys pick up what happened in the service today? When we came together as a church and worshiped, and our team led us in worship, your guys' hearts were hungry. Why do we know that? Because the Lord's presence came in here, right? Our hunger in worship ushered in God's presence, and He met with us this morning, and He spoke to us, and He ministered to us. And I believe He healed hearts, and ministry happened right in our worship service this morning because your hearts were hungry for the presence of God. And so I just want to remind you guys that our hunger, the hunger that we have in our spirits, is what welcomes and ushers and brings in the glory of God to our lives. And so that was just a great time of worship. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. I believe that this year, 2018, is a year that God wants to teach us how to begin to overflow with His presence and His power and His goodness. If we're gonna move into that, though, if we're gonna learn to overflow and begin to receive God's glory and see it manifest in our lives, the very first thing that has to happen is we have to believe in it. We have to believe that God's glory is real and it's for us. I want to give you guys just a quick example. I had a birthday last week, and so Candace, we actually met in the PAW because she was in Saskatoon. So I went to the PAW for the first part of a hockey tournament, and Candace came from Saskatoon and basically went to the PAW, and she said, "Cam, I bought you a birthday gift. It's on the kitchen table." And so I was the first one to come home. She was still in the PAW, and so when I got home, of course, I was looking for my birthday gift. A few things had to happen for me to receive that birthday gift, though. The first thing is I had to believe it. I had to believe that she had actually bought me a gift. And when I saw that ice fishing rod soft case bag that holds my ice fishing rods, I had to believe it was for me, right? I had to believe, yeah, this is for me. So I had to acknowledge its existence, and then I had to believe it was for me, and then I could receive it, right? That process wasn't a long process, let me assure you, right? Because I know my wife and that she desires to give me good things. And so when she says, "I've done this for you and it belongs to you," then I just believe her. And so I saw it and I believed it was for me and I took it and now it's mine and it's nice. It's going to protect my ice fishing rods. That might seem like a silly example, but when it comes to receiving from the Lord, sometimes that process doesn't happen quite as quick in our lives as it did for me with that ice fishing bag. Sometimes it takes us a while to believe that what God is saying is true and it's for us. And it's a process to get to the point where, okay, not only do I believe it's true, but I believe it's for me. Not just the person beside me, not just for my neighbor, but I believe it's for me. And then when we get to that point, now we're ready to receive. Now we're ready to extend our faith and say, "Lord, I believe that you're going to manifest that glory of God, that gift that you have for me in my life. Thank you, Lord, for it." And that's that faith exchange, right? That's us extending our faith and receiving from the Lord. And so sometimes that happens quick spiritually as well, but sometimes it's a process. And so last week we started a series called Show Me Your Glory, and we learned about the journey and the process that Moses was on. God was working in Moses' life to reveal His presence, His power, and His glory. And if Moses was going to lead the nation of Israel, that was a daunting task. It could have been, we don't know exactly how many people, but it was well over 1 million. It may have been over 2 million. We don't know, but it was a lot of people that were traveling from the country of Egypt to the Canaan land. And what a daunting task for Moses and the people that he was leading with to move this giant army of people through the desert. And of course, we know where they were there for 40 years. Moses didn't know that it was going to take that long at the time. He's probably thinking, well, this is like a 40-day journey maybe at the most, right? He didn't realize he was going to be there for that long. But they needed God with them if they were going to pull it off. But the first thing that had to happen was Moses had to believe in God's glory himself. He had to acknowledge its reality. He had to acknowledge its existence. And he had seen it manifested. We talked about this last week, that Moses had seen great manifestations of God's supernatural power with the plagues in Egypt and how he had led them across the Red Sea. But Moses was continuing to develop a hunger for the things of God, for the presence of God, for the glory of God. And so there's this exchange that happens, this conversation that happens in Exodus 33 that we kind of dug into last week. And we're just going to touch on it just really briefly in review this week. But there's this conversation between Moses and God where Moses is repeatedly asking the Lord, to be with him, for God's presence to continue to be with him. Let's read Exodus 33:15-16. So then Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth." The New Living Translation says, "For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the nations of the earth." Your presence among us sets us apart from everyone else on the earth. Moses was saying, "Lord, if you don't go with us, we won't be different than anyone else. Your presence makes us different. Your presence sets us apart. Your presence promotes us. Your presence leads us. Your presence gives us victory. And if we don't have that, we're just the same as everyone else. We don't have an advantage. There's nothing special about us. Lord, we need you to be with us." And so when Moses asked the Lord that, the Lord responded, "Moses, I'll do it. I'll go with you." The scripture says, "I will indeed do what you asked." Moses, of course, had already experienced God's presence. But something had happened here with Moses. If you read the end of chapter 32, it talks about how Moses was spending large amounts of time in God's presence. Of course, he had already been for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. We know that. But then he had built a house of meeting. He had built a tent on the outskirts of the camp, and he would go there, and he would meet with the Lord, the Bible says, face-to-face. So he would have a face-to-face exchange with the glory of God. We're not sure exactly what he saw, but he definitely heard the Lord, and he was able to converse with the Lord and get guidance for his life. And Joshua would stay there to guard that tent when Moses wasn't there. And so Moses had spent a lot of time with the Lord and a lot of time in God's presence. And I believe he was developing a spiritual sensitivity. Not only was he developing a hunger, but he was developing a spiritual sensitivity. Those of you who are married and you spend lots of time with your spouse, have you gotten to the place where sometimes you know what your spouse is thinking? Or they haven't even said it, but you know what they're going to say? Candace does this to me all the time. I don't know how she does it, but I'm like, the words aren't even out of my mouth, and she just finishes my sentence for me, or she answers the question that I was about to ask. And I'm like, how did you know that? But I probably just asked the same thing last week or something. I don't know, but she's good at reading me. And what's happening is Moses has spent enough time with the Lord that he's sensing that there's something else the Lord has for him. He's sensing that there's more on the table. There's more to be had here. Moses is saying, "Lord, we need your presence." And the Lord's saying, "I'll give you my presence. I'll go with you." But now what happens is Moses changes the request. And so in verses 18 and 19, "And Moses said, 'Please show me your glory.' And the Lord said, 'I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on who I will have compassion.'" And I believe that was the request that the Lord was waiting for. That request that Moses said when he said, "Lord, please show me your glory," that started to unlock and manifest a revelation of the glory of God in Moses' life that influences and affects you and I to this very day. And the very first thing that God wanted to show Moses was his goodness. And so the Lord said, "You asked me to show me your glory, I'm going to start by showing you my goodness." And then he goes ahead and lists things like compassion and graciousness. Other translations use the word mercy and long-suffering and different words like that. And then what happens in verse 34 is God said, "I will call out my name," and the Lord called out his name, Yahweh, and then the Lord just started to talk to Moses and tell him that he's a good God and he's long-suffering and he's full of mercy to 1,000 generations. And the Lord just starts to communicate and tell Moses, "This is who I am. If you want to know me, if you want to know my nature, I'm defined by my goodness. My goodness is who I am. And so I want you to know me as a good God, and I want you to know and experience my goodness in my life." And then God goes on to tell Moses about his power, right? Because the glory of God is not only God's presence, and it's not only God's goodness, but it's God's power. So in Exodus 34:10, the Lord replied, "Listen, I'm making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I'll perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power that I will display for you." And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. I believe because Moses had a hungry heart, the Lord said, "Okay, I'm going to meet you. I'm gonna reveal myself to you, Moses, because your heart is hungry to know more of me. You're not just satisfied with my presence, but you sense there's something more. And I believe that the same thing, that's a principle that you and I can walk in. As we develop a hunger for the things of God, as we say, Lord, show me your glory, that God's going to meet us. He's not going to deny that request because he wants to manifest his glory in our lives. He wants to manifest his presence, his power, and his goodness in our lives. And so we need to develop and continue to develop a hunger for the glory of God in our lives. I want to start today talking about the goodness of God. And my goal today is just to build your faith and build your excitement for the goodness of God. I appreciate what you shared for the offering, Bob, because you started, just talking about how God just wants to move in abundance in our lives, right? And even when my dad came up and was just encouraging us and praying during the worship service, again, there was that theme of just over and above and exceeding our expectations, surprising us with his goodness and his glory, right? And I believe the Lord is speaking to us. You know, I wrote, this was confirmation for me. I wrote the first sermon, Show Me Your Glory, that we shared last week. Well, that was actually the sermon for the week before, right? And so that was actually, I was going to originally share that with you guys, I believe on January the 28th or something like that. Of course, with the whole water emergency, we didn't have church that day. But the neat thing is that I actually read Brother Jerry Savelle's partner letter on Friday. As I was preparing my sermon, and right at the top is these four words: "Show me your glory," and that encouraged me because the Lord's been speaking that phrase to me since very early in January. But it helps me know that I'm hearing the Lord when someone that I respect and I really know and believe that hears from the Lord, like Brother Jerry is saying it as well too, right? And so some of the things that I'm going to talk about here, are things that I was able to take from that partner letter because it was like just exactly what was on my heart to share with you guys. And so I want to tell you that, but I'm grateful for that because I believe that God is not just speaking to our church about this, but he's speaking to the kingdom of God about this. That 2018 is a year where he wants to manifest his glory in our lives. And so it's not just for Solid Rock Church, it's not just for Swan River, but I believe it's for the kingdom of God. It's for the church all over the world that God is desiring to do this in all of our hearts and all of our lives. This truth about the goodness of God, I believe that there's a foundational truth about the goodness of God, and having a revelation of this principle. It's a simple principle, but having a revelation of this principle is key to seeing a manifestation of God's glory in our lives. When I give you this statement, it's probably going to seem like it's too simple, and it's something that we've heard before. We often talk about the goodness of God in Christian circles. It's really common if someone says, God is good, then the person will respond back and say, all the time, right? And if you say all the time, then they might say God is good, right? We believe that God is a good God, but it's almost something, that it's so common that sometimes we stop and fail to recognize the full significance of what are we saying? What are we actually declaring when we say God is a good God? And one of the things that I underlined in my notes, and Brother Jerry shared this in his partner letter, but he says, did you know the deeper and more accurately you know God and who he is, the stronger your faith will be? The deeper and more accurately you know God and who he is, the stronger your faith will be. And I believe that's why when Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, God immediately started with a revelation of who he was. He immediately started with a revelation of his goodness. And he said, this is my name, Yahweh, and this is who I am. And he started talking about aspects of his goodness and aspects of his nature because he wanted Moses to have a strong faith, but he needed Moses to have a full revelation of who he was. You know, the better you know God, the more sure you'll be about what he wants to do in your life, right? The more confident you'll be about God, how God wants to move in your situation. But the less you know God, or if you don't, if you only have a little bit of knowledge about God, when the pressure comes, when a challenging situation comes, it's possible for your faith to buckle. It's possible for your faith to weaken in that time. And so this truth, I believe, is so important. It's This, again, is a key that we just need to get deep in our spirit to the point where we never, ever question it. Regardless of what's happening in our life, regardless of what situation we're in, regardless of what external circumstances might look like, regardless of what people around us might be saying, if we're going to see the glory of God and the goodness of God manifest in our lives, we need to believe and have a full revelation of this statement. And that statement is, God is good, and He desires to show His goodness to you. It's a simple statement, but God is good, and He desires to show His goodness to you. Remember I talked about first you have to believe it, and then you have to believe it's for you. If you're going to receive anything in this life, if I'm going to receive that gift from my wife, first I had to believe her, and then I had to believe it was for me, and that's how I was able to receive it, right? And so we have to believe that God is good, but not only is He good, but He's good to me, and He desires to be good to me. He longs to be good to me. He thinks about how can he be good to me. I believe that's the heart of the Father. It's amazing how many people, when you talk to believers, people who had a relationship with the Lord, but it really gets this aspect of God's goodness and how God expresses His goodness and how God manifests His goodness. There's lots of people that have walked with the Lord for a lot of years, but they don't quite fully believe that God is, maybe God's good, but I'm not quite so sure He's good to me. It's easier to believe sometimes that He's good to someone else, right? Because maybe when we're looking at that person, we're seeing the public them, right? We're seeing their polished image, or maybe we're looking at a particular Christian minister, for example. You know, we're seeing whatever is public in display. That's what we're seeing, and it looks good. And you know, we're thinking, well, if I had to choose who to bless or who to give my goodness to, I would choose that person because they're doing really well, right? And so it's easier to believe that God's goodness oftentimes is for someone else. But when we're thinking of ourselves, we're the ones who are most aware of who we are, right? We're most aware of some of the maybe the internal struggles that we have or the challenges or the way that we're still looking to walk in victory over sin in our lives. And of course, we're the ones that the devil is trying to come and bring condemnation, you know, into our lives when we're messing up. And so sometimes it's hardest to convince ourselves that we're the ones that qualify for God's goodness. It's easier to think, well, that person, absolutely, God wants to bless them. But does He want to bless you? Yes, He does. Absolutely. You're qualified. You are just as qualified as anyone else to receive the blessing of God because it's completely independent of anything that you've done. It is totally based on your identity in Christ, right? God's goodness toward you is wholly based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and His blood that was shed for you. And that's equal for everyone. If you've come to faith in the Lord, if you've come to have a relationship with Jesus and acknowledge Him as Lord of your life, you are just as qualified as any other person on this earth to receive the goodness of God. That's good news, right? It's really good news. Do you know that if you have faith in the Lord, you can't disqualify yourself? How can you disqualify the blood of Jesus? It's a done deal. The only way that you could disqualify yourself is by refusing to believe it. The only way that I could not receive that gift from my wife is I said, well, I don't believe it's for me. That's a great looking Cabela's fishing rod bag, but there's no way you would have done that for me. And then I wouldn't have got it, right? You have to believe that it's for you, and the only way that you're going to disqualify yourself, you know, to the point where you can't receive God's goodness and His blessing in your life is if you refuse to believe it. It's called unbelief, right? And that's why unbelief is such a serious thing, because it pulls us away and it disqualifies us for the blessing of God in our lives. Last week I mentioned how Moses and David had something in common. We've been talking about Moses and talking about David. And one of the things that Moses and David had in common was they had a heart that was hungry for God's glory. They were both just men after God's own heart, and they hungered to see God manifest in their lives. Here's something else that they had in common, though. They both had an unwavering belief in the goodness of God. This was, for Moses and David, this was a settled issue. They had a firm foundational belief that God is good and He's good to me. I'll prove it to you. There's a couple of scriptures here that are really interesting. So I believe that Moses believed in the goodness of God when he asked the Lord, please show me your glory. Because God said to Moses, the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Moses believed that about the Lord. Moses believed that about God as Father. And so the glory of God began to manifest in Moses' life. Check out the scripture that David wrote. This is Psalm 145, 8 and 9. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Is there a similarity in those verses? There is, isn't it? Mercy, compassion, slow to anger, unfailing love. They're talking about the same person. This is a revelation of Yahweh. This is a revelation of the Lord. And the Lord revealed it to Moses. But David also had a revelation of it. But catch those verses, those words in verse 9. The Lord is good to everyone. David believed, not only is God good, but he's good to me, and he's good to everyone around me. And he showers compassion. He showers his goodness on all his creation. Another verse from David, Psalm 23, 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, David, he just had this confidence that God's good to me, and he is good all the time. And so that was David's way of saying it. He's saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David was just confident that as he traveled around doing his business, leading the kingdom, leading armies into battle, whatever, God's goodness was going to follow him. He was not going to be able to avoid God's goodness. It was going to show up in expected places and in unexpected places. But David he had a confidence that he was going to walk and experience God's goodness in his life. I think that's a great way to live, isn't it? To have that sense of expectation that, man, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me. You know what? I want to get to the point where I have that level of faith in the goodness of God, then I'm going to have a conversation with you, and I'm going to say, you know what? God's goodness is just chasing me. It's just, I can't, it just follows me everywhere I go. Every situation, every transaction I make, or every decision I make, God's goodness is just, it's just everywhere. It's overtaking me. It's overwhelming me. David had that confidence, and because he had that hunger and that confidence, it manifested in his life. Psalm 145, 9 again. The Lord is good to all. A lot of preachers will say, what is the definition of all? And we're not going to go into that. But all is everyone, right? You can't escape all, right? Everyone in this room is all. Everyone in this community is all. The Lord desires to be good to all. And so that issue of, is God good? And does he want to be good to you? That can be a settled issue, because the Lord desires to be good to all. And he desires to shower compassion on all his creation. When Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus. This is in the New Testament, and Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. And, of course, we know that Lazarus passed away, right? And Jesus was off ministering in a different place. And so, to the minds of Mary and Martha and the people who were friends of that family, Jesus came too late, right? He should have come earlier, and perhaps he could have saved Lazarus, but Jesus wasn't upset about that. And Jesus wasn't uptight, and Jesus wasn't discouraged. He knew what was going to happen. But Martha especially was having a difficult time believing that Jesus could bring her brother back. And this is Jesus' response to Martha. This is John 11:40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" He's saying, "Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Is that not what we've been talking about? We need to believe in the glory of God, because that's how we're going to experience it manifesting our lives. But if that's true, then the inverse is also true. What is that? If we don't believe, we'll miss out. We'll miss out on the glory of God manifesting in our lives. Another scripture from Psalms that King David wrote, Psalms 27:13 says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living." I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. So this aspect of believing in God's goodness and believing that it's for you and that it's for me, there is something to that that cements our faith, that gives us a strength during tough times. We know David had some tough times. Early in his life, after he killed King Saul, he was just trying to be a nice guy and play some songs for Saul and be a warrior in his army. But God was elevating, right? Cream rises to the top, and David was God's anointed. And so he was getting promoted perhaps even more than he wanted to be. But God was promoting David, and Saul became jealous. And so there was years of David's life where he was a fugitive running around all the land of Israel. and even in the land of the Philistines, just trying to escape Saul, just trying to stay out of Saul's grasp, right? And so this, it's quite likely that this passage of Scripture was written during one of those times when it wasn't, David wasn't just hungry, or just, his jacket wasn't quite warm enough. But here was the king of Israel and all of Israel's army arrayed against him, trying to kill him, trying to wipe him out. And David's saying, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. He had, again, that was a firm foundation for David. He was not going to question the goodness of God in his life. And if we doubt that God's good, and we doubt that he's going to manifest his goodness in our lives, that can happen to us as well. We can lose heart, and we can quit. If we let that unbelief come in, we could just feel like throwing in the towel and not wanting to continue that good fight of faith. And when we do that, unfortunately what happens is we miss out on those things that the Lord wants to give us. We miss out on God's glory, his power, his presence, and his goodness being manifested in our lives. I believe that God doesn't want us to miss out on any part. He wants us to experience the fullness of his glory, the fullness of everything he has for us. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold to those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God doesn't want to hold back anything from you and I. And somehow, sometimes we get this picture where it's communicated to us of a God who's kind of a stingy God, and he's got limited supply, and if he gives too much to one person, he's not going to have enough to give to the next. Those of you who have kids and families, like when mom makes a real good dessert, and there's let's say there's a pie there, right? I mean, it's a big deal, because if one piece of pie gets too big, that means the other pieces of pie are going to be smaller, right? And, even I can get quite concerned over that sometimes, right? It's not just the kids, let's be honest here. I mean, I want as much of that good pie as possible, right? But the Lord's goodness is not that way. It's not finite. It doesn't have a limit on it, right? So the Lord can, bless someone else with just incredible amounts of goodness, and he can still overwhelm me with goodness as well, right? It's not the pie, it's not a fixed amount of pie. And so that's encouraging to know that the Lord doesn't desire to be stingy toward us, but he wants to bless us and overwhelm us with his goodness. I started by talking how when the Lord started talking to Moses about his goodness, he started revealing his nature to Moses. And I believe the more we realize how good God is and get a revelation of God's character and his nature, it's going to be easier for us to see him as our source, as our provider. It's going to be easier to have faith, let's say something was lined up to bring provision in our lives and it doesn't happen exactly the way we wanted to, or it falls through. We won't lose heart and get discouraged if we believe in the goodness of the Lord, because the believing in the goodness of the Lord is acknowledging that, Lord, you're my provider, you're my strength, you're my source, and I'm not looking to external circumstances. I know that you can move in a variety of ways, and so I just put my faith in you, I put my trust in you to see your goodness manifest in my life. Exodus 34:6, this is when the Lord actually passed by Moses, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. I want to talk about that word, abounding, just a little bit. Psalm 31:19, basically a very similar word. How great is your goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. This aspect of abounding or greatness, there's just so many scriptures that talk about it. And this verse in Psalms 31:19, that sentence, how great is the goodness you've stored up, the Hebrew word that's used for great there can also be translated as abounding or abundant or exceedingly. And so we can substitute any of those words. We could say, well, how abounding or how abundant is the goodness you've stored up, or how exceedingly great. That's just over and above, without limits. How exceedingly great is the goodness that you've stored up. And then the word for goodness, that Hebrew word for goodness there, is also translated as prosperity, good things, goods, property, supply, and provision. I'm going to read that list for you again. Prosperity, good things, and goods. How many of you guys have goods in your house? Goods are good, aren't they? Keith Moore says that, and I always chuckle when he says it, but he's like, it's a good thing to have goods. You know, when God gives good things, but he doesn't desire just to give good things, he wants to give you goods, right? Goods are things, right? You don't have to feel, don't ever let anyone feel, make you feel guilty for extending your faith for a good thing, for some goods. Because we're going to talk about this very shortly, but there's a reason for God's blessing. There's a reason for his desire to bring abundance in our life. It's blessing with a purpose. For example, Ryan and family were able to go snowmobiling yesterday. Well, that's a good, that snowmobile is a blessing, right? But look at what it enabled them to do. It enabled them to have a good time, but take part in a fundraiser. It's a blessing with a purpose, right? It's a snowmobile can be a tool for the kingdom of God, right? I don't know why I'm picking on snowmobiles, but I mean, it could be whatever kind of thing that God brings into our life. Those things, those are goods, and they're good things, and God's goodness in our lives, I believe, comes from his desire for us to be known as people that he's lavishing goodness on, because he can reveal, when he's lavishing his goodness and blessing our lives, what's happening? He's revealing his character and nature to the nations. People who see, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but people who see that and people who are witnessing that, they are seeing a visible manifestation of God's character and his nature in our lives. Prosperity, good things, goods, property, supply, provision. So God's goodness is not just his nature, but it's his desire that every good thing, the Bible says in the book of one of those little Johns, every good thing comes from the Father above, right? Every good thing comes from the Lord. And so God's goodness is great, and it's far greater than we think. God's goodness is great, and it's far greater than we think. I believe that God's goodness will cause you to prosper in every area of your life, right? It's not just goods, but Bob mentioned spirit, soul, and body, financially, in your relationships, in your health, in all ways, in your workplace, with your family, with your extended family, in all areas of your life, everything that you're involved in, the goodness of God can manifest in all those ways. And so I believe God's goodness, it's not just to give us a warm fuzzy, but it's goodness with a purpose. It's blessing with a purpose. God's not just concerned with you and I having a good life, right? He's thinking way beyond that. He's thinking way past that. I believe that God is after the heart and soul of mankind. Ultimately, he's looking to gather a people to himself. He's looking to gather everyone to him, right? And so his goodness has a purpose. And so he desires to manifest his goodness in our lives so the world will know it and they will see a God that they want to serve. When they see God's goodness manifested in the lives of believers and manifesting and abounding in the kingdom of God, man, that's a God you want to serve, a God who wants to bless his people and lavish goodness on his people and shower them with blessings. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Amen? We've read this verse already this morning, but Exodus 34:10, God told Moses, "All the people among you shall see the work of the Lord, for it's an awesome thing that I will do among you." It's an awesome thing that I'll do among you. God wants to enlarge our sphere of influence, I believe, with the goodness and blessing that he brings into our lives, so that people around us, they won't be able to deny that God's done it, right? They'll know we work. They'll maybe even know some of the investments we have. But when they see the goodness of God, they'll be like, that doesn't make sense. How is that happening in your life? How are you able to have your needs met and an overflow of supply to give to other people and to bless other people? How is that possible? It's a testimony of God's goodness. It's God's desire to lavish goodness on his people. And so God did that with Moses and the people of Israel, but I believe he wants to do it for you and I. God's good, and he desires to be good to you. Psalm 31:19 again. This probably of any of the verses that I looked at, this is one of the verses that just really spoke to me. How great is the goodness you've stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. This is the New Living Translation. We first read it in the New King James. I want to read that again. How great is the goodness you've stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. Lavish means just to expend or give in great amounts or without limits. It just refers to something exists in abundance and it's just being poured out in overwhelming amounts or given in some way that it's just too much. It's just lavish. It's just way more than is needed. It's just an overflow. It's more than seems reasonable. It's totally unreasonable. It's just lavish. It's large in quantity or number. It's plentiful. And that verse is, God lavishes goodness on his people. The part that really spoke to me, though, is that last phrase, blessing them before the watching world. What does that mean? The world's watching. The world is watching you and I, right? And our lives are a witness. Our lives are a testimony of God's goodness. And that's why it's so key for us to get to the point where we believe it and we're extending our faith for it, because the world is watching. And don't you want to be a part? If the world's watching, don't you want to be a part of God's goodness and seeing his goodness and his glory and his presence manifest? If the world's watching, man, we want to be proof of the existence of God. We want to be proof of the reality of God. We want to be proof of the greatness and awesome nature of God and his desire to bless us. Amen? The prophet Isaiah, this was many centuries ago, he prophesied that the glory of God would be a magnet, that it would pull people into the kingdom of God. This is a group of verses that are familiar to us, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Isaiah 61:3. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of God rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. When the glory of God rises and appears over you, all nations will come to your light. How will the nations come to know, how will they come to the kingdom of God? The presence and the power and the goodness of God. That's his glory rising over us. And I believe that it's God's desire. They're going to manifest to such a level that the world will not be able to deny that God is a good God. It's God's desire that that there's such a light over the kingdom of God. There's such hope. There's such abundance. There's so many good things happening that it's just highly attractional. The nations and people of the world will flock to the kingdom of God because it's clear that God is real, that he's alive, that he desires to do good things for his people. And I believe that that's how the world is going to be won to Christ, is through God's goodness and his power and his presence. Just visible manifestations of God's glory happening in our lives, through our lives, on our lives, and just absolutely spilling out to the world around us, where it can't be denied that God is real and he's moving in power. Ephesians 2:7, this is in the Passion Translation. Praise the Lord, we upgraded our media software this last week, and so now we have the Passion Translation as well, too. And I'm just excited for that. You know, a couple weeks ago, that's a scripture I really wanted to share in the Passion Translation, but it would have been, like, tricky to, like, make it all happen. So now I get to add another translation to my selections. But Ephesians 2:7 in the Passion Translation, through the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. That verse sums up everything we've been talking about today. That's it, right there. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, so there's no limit to it, limitless riches of his grace and kindness. That's God's goodness. His grace and kindness is his goodness. We're going to say limitless riches of his goodness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. That's why we qualify for it, because we're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're qualified. And so you qualify to have God's goodness and his limitless, infinite grace and kindness showered on you if you're in Christ. That's the only way to become qualified. But if you're in Christ, you qualify. Ephesians 2:7 in the Message Translation says, now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness on us in Christ Jesus. He's got you right where he wants you. And he's got all the time in this world and all the time in the next to shower you with grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. That's encouraging. That blesses me when I read those verses. That builds my faith to start to believe for greater manifestation of God's goodness in my life. So I encourage you with that. God's got you right where he wants you, because if you're in Christ, you're qualified. And he wants you to be qualified because he wants to bless you. Amen? That word shower, it's really the same word as lavish that we just talked about. It just means to give profusely and abundantly. And so God just wants to shower His goodness and His kindness and His grace upon us like no other generation before has experienced. The Amplified Bible says, so that He might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He wants to, remember, the world's watching, and God wants to clearly show the world, this is who I am, and this is how I operate, this is how I do things. Come to me, come to the kingdom. I'm a good God. I want to bless you. I have great things for you. You know, that word, unsurpassed, another word for unsurpassed, when you dig into language, I just find it just helps you just get more excited and get a better grasp of what God is trying to say. That word unsurpassed, another word is unexceeded, meaning it's never been done to that extent before. I believe in these last days, God wants to pour out His goodness in a way that hasn't even been done before. That word unexceeded can mean outdo or over the top or transcend or outperform. You know, we're watching the Winter Olympics right now. We had the opening ceremonies were on Friday, right? And Candace and I, for example, have been watching some snowboarding slope style, and we watched, oh, I'm going to get the name wrong. Is it Mark McMorris? Mark Morris won a silver medal, right? No, bronze. The other Canadian won a silver medal. But, you know, we're watching this, and these guys are at the peak of their game, right? And it won't be just that sport, but at the Olympics, they're exceeding themselves. They're getting higher scores, and they're doing tricks that have never been done before. The announcer, I don't know anything about snowboarding. I'm looking at it thinking, that's awesome. And the announcer will be like, that's never been done before in competition. They'll make a statement like that, right? And I believe God is looking to set records Himself. He's looking to bring His goodness in our lives in a way that's never been seen or witnessed before. He's looking to outdo Himself, outperform Himself. He wants to set a record for His goodness and His glory in your life and in my life. So I hope, as we've talked about this, that your faith has started to get just a little bit stirred and a little bit excited, because when our faith gets stirred, then we just make the decision, I'm going to believe Your goodness, Lord. I'm going to believe that You're a good God and You desire to do good things for me, and I believe that You desire to manifest Your goodness in my life. And when we do that, we get a faith that's strong. We get a faith that won't be moved. And we can say like David, even if we're in a challenging situation, we can say, I won't lose heart because I believe in the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is a manifestation of His glory. And that same faith that you and I can have for the goodness of God, we can also have for His presence and His power, because it's the same thing. It's God's glory that causes all three of those things to manifest in our life. So we focus today on the grace of God, but you can use that same faith and that same level of excitement that you have for the power of God, for His supernatural power, just to any difficult situation you're facing that just seems like, I don't have the answer. He can blow that thing apart in a second. He can change that in a heartbeat. He's that powerful, and He's that good, and He has that great of a desire to do those good things in your life. He's just looking for people to extend their faith. You know, God's blessing our life, it is not automatic. We've talked about that. It doesn't happen without us extending our faith. If I want to receive something from a grocery store, if I'm going to buy myself lunch this afternoon, I have to go and I have to take a credit card or debit card or cash. I have to give them something as part of that transaction to receive that lunch. Well, faith is your spiritual currency, right? Because that's why it's so important for us to get faith and get confidence in the Word of God, because faith is our spiritual currency. And as our faith increases, we are going to be able to receive everything that God has for us. Let's stand. Praise You, Jesus. Lord, we honor You in this place, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, that today we have met with You, Lord. Today in our worship service, Lord, and even as we've been talking today, Lord, Your presence is here. We have experienced a visible, tangible manifestation of Your presence, Lord. And so we thank You for Your presence. We welcome You, Holy Spirit, in this place. We thank You that You are a God who desires to meet with His people. You are a God who desires to bless His people. You are looking to raise a kingdom of people that are a visible manifestation to a watching world of Your greatness, of your goodness and your power and your presence, Lord. And so today we respond in faith. We say we will be that people. We will be those ones whom the world is watching, and we're going to position ourselves through faith in your goodness and through faith in your power and through faith in your presence. We're going to position ourselves to receive the glory of God. So, Lord, show us your glory. Lord, that's our cry. Lord, we purpose, Lord, today and when we get home, Lord, we spend time with you and through the week, Lord, we purpose. That's the cry of our hearts, Lord. Show us your glory, Lord. Please show us your glory. We will not leave anything on the table, but Lord, we believe that it's your desire to meet every hungry heart. And so our hearts hunger and thirst after righteousness. Our hearts hunger after the truths and treasures of your word, and our hearts hunger after visible manifestations of your glory, because we desire to be your people that are light, Lord. We desire to be those whom the nations will come to because they see your glory manifesting in our lives, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, we thank you that you've qualified us through your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your gift, how you brought us from place of darkness into light. You've brought us from lack into abundance. You've brought us from no privilege to all the privilege in the world. Lord, you have qualified us through the blood of Jesus. And so we're so thankful and grateful for your gift, Lord. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Lord, this week as we go forth, Lord, I declare just the favor of God and the goodness of God to manifest on everyone in this room. As they go forward, Lord, that they would have that same confidence that David had, that your goodness surrounds me, your goodness chases me down, your goodness shows up around every corner. Lord, let us have that level of faith, Lord, as we experience your goodness this week. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.